Well, I'm going to be the first to say it. Merry early Christmas from Peace Chapel. Yeah. 24 days. Isn't that crazy? It's December and it's cold. Man, it's cold. Well, this is your first time at Peace Chapel. We want to say welcome to you. There is a Connect card. It looks like this. On the back is some blank spots for you to fill in your information, whatever you'd like to fill in. There's also information about the different ministries here at Peace Chapel. And if you will hold on to this card, at the end of the service, we have a free gift for you as a way of saying thanks. Thanks for coming and being a part of Peace Chapel on a Sunday. And we're glad that you're here. We also have a prayer card. So thank you for many of you that take advantage of that, and others are praying with you. I know that many of us get the texts for different days of the week and times, and people praying for different needs. But if you have a specific need, on the back is some blank spots for you as well to write your prayer need down. In a few moments, the offering plate will come by. You can drop it in there, and if that you didn't have enough time, you can drop it in the drop box in the back there, down the bottom of the stairs. But just know, we do pray for these. I say it every week, but be encouraged. You're not alone. If you want others to come around you and pray for your needs, take advantage of that, because we do. We bombard heaven for you. So thank you for that. I also wanted to say thank you to all the crew that came out yesterday to help with the Christmas decorations. Got the church looking really festive, and it was a lot of work, but thank you for all those that came out, and it's cozy, isn't it? It just feels good to come and to celebrate and be reminded of what it's all about. I also want to say thank you, church family, for the kind words and gifts and prayers for Julie and I last week. It means so much, so we're encouraged by that. We love being your pastors, and it's a calling that we take seriously. And so thank you for your love and your gifts to us. And well, today is December 1st. It's the first Sunday of the month, and we highlight all of our missionary or mission organizations once a month. And today we have the slide with just all the names of those that we celebrate. So these are our U.S. missionaries, and over the time you've seen a video from some of these come through and give you a greeting and. And so, but those are our U.S. missionaries. We also have our foreign missionaries on there as well. And so there's quite a bit. We have about 21 missions organizations or missionaries that we support. We're not the only church that supports them, but we're a part of other churches that support these missionaries here, there, and everywhere to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And there is a great three-ring binder in the Coffee Connection that you can peruse through and look and get a picture with a name and even pray for those. So a little bit more, we'll talk about a little bit more how this month we're going to be challenged to give locally here at Peace Chapel Assembly, and a little more on that in my message. So right now we're going to give it over to Brother Paul with some announcements.
Thank you, Pastor. As Pastor mentioned, we have various times we pray for needs. One of them is Intercessory Prayer Group meets Monday mornings at 10:30, and so your prayer requests that have come in either online or that you've put on that card and dropped in the offering, we pray for those. We're back this week. We'll be having small groups on Wednesday nights. The men's small group is continuing on our series on salvation. Last time we looked at we've been saved. This time we're looking at we're being saved, how God is continuing to mature us in our walk with him. The women's small groups, there's one, meets 10:30 in the morning on Wednesday. They're looking at finishing strong. And the group that meets Wednesday nights at 6:30 is looking at the tabernacle. So I invite you ladies to pick one of those groups and come out and be part of that. There will be no small groups the weeks around Christmas, the week before and week of Christmas, so no small groups on December 18th and the 25th. We have Adult Sunday School at 9:30 Sunday morning. It's just started a new series on Messianic prophecies. I invite you to come out and be part of that. We meet in the Fellowship Hall at 9:30. For our young folk, we have Kids Central for for all ages downstairs on in the lower level. Invite you to take advantage of that. Youth group meets Sunday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. for grades 6 through 12. And it's hard to believe it's December already, but 2 weeks from today we have our Christmas potluck. There's a sign up down in the lobby so we know a little bit how much food we need to get. Invite you to bring a side dish and sign up for that, as well as wear your ugliest Christmas sweater. At the end of the month, December 29th, we'll be having a family Sunday. There'll be no classes for grades K through 5. They'll be up in the service with us on that day, but the preschool and nursery classes will still be going on the lower level. You have the QR codes up on the screen, which gives you access to our social media sites. Invite you to take advantage of that. And I'll turn it over to Brother Tom for the offering.
Okay, good Sunday morning, everyone. We're going to take up an offering at this time. Did you know that giving is an act of worship? Just as much as singing or praising the Lord with your hearts and your mouths, it's an act of worship. If the ushers would come forward, I'll say a quick prayer and we'll take up the offering. Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can give to your kingdom as an act of worship. Lord, we like to sing to you. We like to praise you when we're driving, when we're taking a shower. Lord, we like to praise you, but now we get to praise you with our giving. Speak to our hearts now about what you would have us to do. Bless both gift and giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mary, lay your baby down, the tiny little king. Your arms are like daisies first grown, as you're rocking fast asleep. He's come to shine the light for men. He's heard their desperate cry. Now just hold him close to you, 'cause your heart is his first lullaby. So bring glory to his name, for soon he will sing the song of salvation. And one day every knee will bow, but you just hold him now. You have been given the Prince of Heaven.
On this first day of Advent, we celebrate the hope found in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was born into our world to redeem us from our sins, our wounds, and our hopelessness. From Isaiah chapter 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor, David, for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. For this reason, we worship Jesus as our Savior. I now light this first Advent calendar to celebrate the hope found through faith in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Aiden. Thank you, Aiden, for reading today's Advent. And thank you, Peace Chapel family, for giving back to God your tithes as an act of worship and generosity. God made a perfect world, and he filled it with people that he loved, and he desired a relationship with them. But we sinned, and it separated us by breaking this relationship with God. And born in a lowly manger, God sent his son Jesus to save us. He was crucified, died, rose again, and is coming back to restore our relationship with God if we put our trust and our faith in Him. That's why we gather. That's why we're here. I've told you before, I really love this time of year, this Christmas time. The Christmas music, the lights, the decorations, the movies. And in our house, there's a touch of Christmas in each room. And some of you understand what that means. Some of you have more than one tree set up probably at your house. And all we need now is a bunch of snow. Yeah. I knew I'd get some reaction there. But I'm from out west, Utah, so we got lots of snow for skiing and one resort over 900 inches in one ski season. So bring it on, right? Oh, there's no place like home. All right. We'll sing another time. I was about to graduate from North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota, another place that gets lots of snow, but it's a lot colder. This was back in 93, and Julie and I were married, and we had little Danielle, little Bambino, and lead pastors were looking to hire different pastor positions, and so they would come to the school and set up interviews. And I remember going to this one interview for a youth pastor position in a church in a city south of Minneapolis, and I can remember being nervous, as most of us would be at an interview. And a classmate of mine and his wife were also being interviewed for the same youth pastor position. So Julie and I were excited in anticipation. We prayed and we waited. And the pastor chose the other couple. And I can remember feeling in that moment, they decided to go with this other couple and feeling utterly disappointed. You know how it is, questions that are swirling around in your mind. Why didn't they choose me, us? Where was God? What's wrong with me? What am I lacking that they didn't hire us? Total rock bottom disappointment. You see, I know that we've all put our hope into something or someone only to be absolutely disappointed. And you guys know this, disappointment can wreak havoc in our lives. Disappointments from a relationship that ended, not getting the job offer, not achieving your goals, or an event that didn't go as planned, someone passed away, or even a divorce. And we look back and we wished or hoped things turned out differently. So it got me thinking, what's the difference between hope and wish? Hope and wish, right? Hope is used to express a desire that is possible or likely to happen. I hope you get there safely. Wish is used to express a desire that is impossible or unlikely to happen. I wish you were here. Hope is used when the outcome of something is unknown. Wish is used when the outcome is known and can't be changed. Hope is often focuses on aspirations. Wish often talks about regrets or wants. Where do we put our hope? In the economy, an election, a more fulfilling job, a bigger bank account? Is our hope in better health, a new relationship, a new friendship, hope for a baby someday or a grandchild, or maybe you're praying for a spouse or maybe a prodigal son or daughter to come home? What do we put our hope in? The world often uses the phrase, I hope so, you know, desiring for some future thing to happen. And it's no wonder the lottery system is exploding. The world puts hope in unpredictable people or unpredictable government, right, or programs, and hoping that people will change, or hoping that, you know, they get a free handout. And the world puts hope in unexpected circumstances, hoping things will improve, hoping that they will finally be satisfied and fully content, and only to be disappointed in the end. Well, today is the first day of Advent. It's the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. The four themes of Advent are hope, peace, love, and joy. And so each week, we'll look at each one of those themes. And as you can imagine, the difficulty as your pastor is to tell the Christmas story in a creative way about a story that hasn't changed in 2,000 years, right? Everybody knows the ending. Everybody knows, you know, how it ends and how it goes. The story hasn't changed, but it's you and I that need to change. And so I'm sure you'll hear anything that I say over the next four Sundays of Advent leading up to Christmas you've probably heard before. Some of you have been Christians longer than I've been alive. But the bigger challenge for myself and for all of us is to open our hearts once again to the amazing truth of Jesus, that he came into the world as a baby, and how that impacts our life today in a meaningful way. Opening up our hearts. A lot of us have heard the story. A lot. I titled my message in this series on Advent, Hope. Hope. Advent means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. The arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. Well, the notable person is Jesus Christ. The thing is that Jesus became human, died for our sins to bring salvation to all mankind. And the event is that Jesus was born in a stable, in a manger, with humble beginnings. Christmas, as you know, is so much more than gifts under a tree. It's not wrong to give gifts. Jesus, God gave Jesus, so he was the first giver, right? So it's good, it's okay to give. But it's so much more than all the pressures of shopping and decorating the house and preparing the food, so much more than a full calendar and endless tasks. And if we're not careful, we can get sucked into the hype that Christmas shouldn't be about. Because Advent, Jesus coming, it really is good news. And so for the next several weeks, I want to look at one text found in Romans chapter 5, and I'll go ahead and read it. It says this: we have been made right with God because of our faith. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our faith, Christ has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. And we also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. God gave us his love through the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. I'm going to take a big guess here. You might be thinking, what in the world? What do those verses have to do with Advent and Christmas? But in that passage that I just read, the four themes of Advent, they jump out. So we'll unpack them leading up to Christmas, beginning with hope. Hope. The hope found in Scripture is like this passage isn't the I hope so, right, definition that the world believes. The pie in the sky and the unicorns and wish upon a star kind of stuff. But it's firmly rooted in Christ himself. And this verse, the verse I want to zero in this morning is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us. I've got to say, it's rather easy to rejoice in God's goodness, but to rejoice in suffering, well, that's not so easy. Hope is easy to have when things are going spectacular in life, right? Your marriage is solid. Kids or grandkids are doing well. Excellent health. The job, you know, is awesome. The money's in the bank. You've got great grades. Life is good. Hope, right? God is so good. And so it's easy to walk out of here saying, yeah, I have hope because God is good and my life is going well. But hope is hard to find sometimes when life is crumbling all around you. Marriage or family issues, health's in question, job is a grind, money is really tight, school is tough, life isn't going so well. Hope, where is it? I don't have it. God isn't so good to me. There could be different perspectives sitting in this room today. But I have to say, as followers of Jesus, not followers of a religion, not followers of Peace Chapel, but followers of Jesus, we know that suffering and hardships are ultimately for our good. Why would anyone sign up to be a follower of Christ when there is suffering and hardships? Why do we do that? Well, the true answer is suffering and hardships, they come to everybody. But as followers, when there is suffering and hardships, you have hope in Christ. You have peace of God, joy of the Lord, and God's love. Doesn't mean your life's going to go perfect from here on out, because there is going to be hardships and trouble. And this passage is like a link of a chain. Troubles or tribulations produce patience. Patience produces character, and character produces hope. We kind of land back on that word, hope. Trouble or tribulation can produce patience in us. Patience or perseverance makes our character stronger and mature, and that patience produces in us the character that we need, which in turn leads to hope. Interesting, in studying this week, our English word for tribulation comes from a Latin word, tribulum. When Paul was writing this passage, a tribulum was, I think there's a picture, a tribulum was a heavy piece of timber with spikes in it, used for threshing the grain. This tool was pulled over the grain, and it separated the wheat from the chaff, the good and the bad, right? The usable and the unusable. And as we, you and I, we go through tribulations, and we depend on God's grace, the trials will purify us and help get rid of the chaff that's in our lives. So troubles can lead to hope. Hope that no matter what we face in this life, our hope isn't in an institution. Our hope is not in a thing or even a person, but it's in God alone. You remember the story Jesus told about the parable of the sower, who scattered seed, which represents God's word. And some of that seed fell on rocky ground. And it sprouted quickly, but the sun, okay, which represents persecution, represents suffering, came up, and the plants, which represents you and I, the believers, with shallow faith, the plants were scorched by the sun because they had no roots. If we endure suffering with patience, our character will develop and mature. Then we can fully hope in certainty of our salvation. You see, no amount of suffering can ever separate us from God's love. Instead, trials and hardships bring us closer to the Lord and makes us more like Jesus. I wish that were not the case. I wish I could just tell you really good news and it's all going to be okay, but I can't. There are times we go through difficult things. No doubt all of us have. Troubles lead to patience, patience lead to character, and character leads to hope. One commentator said this, patience does us more good than troubles can do us hurt or harm. Patience does us more good than troubles can do us hurt or harm. If you think about it, trouble, whatever that is in your context, it's designed to cause impatience in us. But with God's grace, can cause patience if we allow it. It's been said that patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. You are correct. That is not in the Bible. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. Hope, you see, is a gift of God's grace that grows deeper and stronger as we experience His love, His mercy, power, and faithfulness. Well, you might be thinking, everyone goes through troubles. I get that. And I know I need to be a more patient person. Just ask my spouse or my kids or my grandkids or my friends. So I know that's true. And over time, sure, yeah, I can see being patient. It builds character. I get it. Mm-hmm. But how does character produce hope in me? How does that work? Well, I read this definition of hope. Hope is defined as a desire for some future good with the expectation of obtaining it. A desire for something good with the expectation of obtaining it. Hope is confident expectancy, or the confident anticipation of that which we do not yet see. Hope. It's a word that is used a lot, especially at Christmas time. Being one of us, Jesus brought hope into the world. But if you're honest today, maybe you don't feel much hope in your situation in life, or in your marriage, or your family, or relationships. Maybe you've fallen for a false hope. A false hope. For 40 years, the prophet Jeremiah, going way back in the Old Testament, he had warned the people of Israel about the false prophets who preached. They preached a popular message that the people wanted to hear. For 40 years, he was saying, no, no. And the false prophets refused to expose the sins of the people and call the nation to repentance. And shortly after the fall of Jerusalem, Jeremiah, believed to be the author of Lamentations, he wrote this in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Your prophets have said so many foolish things, false to the core. They did not save you from the exile by pointing out your sins. Instead, they painted false pictures, filling you with false hope. See, these false prophets were telling the people that they were okay in their sin with God when they were not okay. They were lulled to sleep by a false hope. They were now in exile because of it. You see, maybe something was promised to you, and it gave you hope, only to find that it didn't deliver what you thought it would. Somebody promised something to you, giving you hope, only to dash those hopes in a million pieces. And over time, you build a wall around your heart so others don't disappoint or others don't hurt you or give you a hope that they can't deliver on. Burned by false hope, by things or people, and what happens is you become skeptical. Possibly because of trauma or hardships, you have lost hope. Lost hope. Life is hopeless, meaningless, empty, and full of pain. You've given up in the past, or you've come close to throwing in the towel, and your heart is numb. I got to say this morning, there are a few examples in scriptures of those who have lost hope or losing hope. Job, he was a good and honorable man. He understood human suffering. He lost everything. His kids, his house, his livelihood, all of it. He declared in Job chapter 17, verses 10 and verses 15, "My days are over. My hopes have disappeared. My heart's desires are broken. Where then is my hope? Can anyone find it?" That doesn't sound like a guy who's pretending that everything's okay in his life. My hope has disappeared. My heart is broken. I've lost hope. I can't find it. David, the writer of many psalms, praying to God, and he was being chased by the enemy, wrote in Psalm 143, verse 4, "I am losing all hope. I am paralyzed with fear." And in crying out to God, and brutally, he's brutally honest, David was losing hope. Fear was draining any hope that he had. Well, that was a different day and age. You know, things are different today. But if you were to read the life of David, I don't think you would want to go back and trade your life with his. He was constantly chased. He faced all kinds of things. He understood losing hope. The Apostle Paul, he's a prisoner in Rome. He wrote to the Ephesians in describing the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. "In those days you were living apart from Christ." He's describing the Gentiles. "You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." Living apart from God, outsiders, excluded, disqualified, outcasts, right? They were living without God and without hope. What a sad place to be, but there are many in our society that are there without hope. Maybe you can identify with losing hope or having a lost hope. When disappointment strikes your heart, you can lose hope. Let me introduce you to Jesus, your eternal hope. Eternal hope. You see, hope isn't a thing or an event or a warm, fuzzy feeling. Hope is Jesus Christ. When hope that was false failed you, when hope that was lost disappeared, there is Jesus, your eternal hope. The Apostle Paul again wrote to Titus. We don't talk much about Titus, but Titus was like a son to Paul. And so Paul encouraged the believers to keep growing in their faith. Don't settle. Don't stop. Keep growing in your faith. He said this in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. "Then they will have the hope of eternal life God promised long ago." And God never tells a lie. You have the assurance, a hope for the future because of God's promises. And oh, by the way, God is incapable of lying. The hope of eternity with God made possible by Jesus Christ. Later, Paul says in Titus chapter 3, verse 7, "Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life." You are made right with God by His grace. You see, you are no longer condemned by your sin because of the work of Jesus on the cross. What does God's kindness and His love and His mercy and His grace, what does that result in? Hope. Hope. You are a child of God. Hope. I read this devotion from the YouVersion Bible app. I encourage you to get it, download it, use it every day. But the title of this devotion was "Wait on the Lord." So I'm going to read it to you today. When the world around you seems wild, or the heart inside you feels weary, you can still count on God. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 130, verse 5, "I wait for the Lord," or "I'm counting on the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope." You see, this psalm I just read is one of the 15 psalms known as the Pilgrim Songs, or the Songs of Ascent, comprising of Psalms 120 through 134. And they're sung by the Jewish travelers making the trek to Jerusalem
for annual festivals. If you read the rest of the chapter, you'll notice a heaviness, a tenderness, a tone of repentance. The psalmist cries out from the depths, wanting to be heard, begging for mercy, longing for the redemption of his people, all the while hoping in and waiting on the Lord. The devotional goes on to say, if you've ever wondered who, other than you, has had to hope in, wait on, count on, and trust in the Lord, it's everyone. It's all of us. Every person in biblical history, from Noah to Moses, from Rahab to Ruth, from Peter to Paul, down to us living in this modern day. Those who lived before Jesus Christ were waiting on the Messiah to come and to rescue a fallen world. Those who live after Jesus, like us, are waiting on him to come back and redeem everything that's been lost once and for all. You see, the season of Advent reminds us that regardless of who you are, where you're from, or what you've done, you can cry out and wait on God with hope. He is trustworthy, he is faithful, and he always makes good on his promises. And as you wait upon the Lord during this Advent season, know that he wants you to come close. He wants you to come close so that he can be your strength, so that he can give you hope, that eternal hope. So hope, hope. With Christmas 24 days away, we can already be filled with anxiety and stress about what we must do to get ready. The decorating, the baking, the preparing, the buying gifts, the parties, right? We can all lose focus on all the holiday trappings that are out there. We can be filled with anxiety trying to do everything for everyone. And we can lose sight of what it's all about. Or that we go through the motions another year, another Christmas, and we don't really stop and think about what it really means. I thought about titling my message today, Hope Dealer. Jesus is a hope dealer. Christmas is more than just a holiday with time off from work and school or a cozy house filled with the sights and smells of Christmas. It's more than Christmas wish lists and shopping and Black Friday deals and Cyber Monday deals. Where do we put our hope? Maybe a better question is, who do we put our hope in? If you're putting your hope in someone that you love, that's a lot of pressure. They're human. They're going to let you down just as you've let them down. And there are so many searching for meaning. They're searching for hope, but it can't be found under the tree. It can't be found being clicked online or in a special relationship. Our greatest need isn't money and fame and comfort and security and pleasure, right? That's the things we look for. We want to reach for those because they're close by and they give us temporary feelings of hope, but they don't last. Hope is only found in Jesus. And without Jesus' sacrifice, we have no hope of forgiveness. Without Jesus, we have no hope of eternal life. Nothing is more important in life than putting our hope in a God who loves us and has given us eternal hope that we can rely on. Nothing is more important. Your titles, how many cars you have, or how big your house is, or how big your bank account is, it'll all go away. Feeling the sting of rejection and disappointment and not being chosen for that youth pastor position I talked about earlier, my hope didn't disappear because God had other plans. I didn't know what those were, but I had to trust him. We all experience disappointments in life. We live in a broken world. It just happens. But our hope isn't found in something, but in God. Advent is the arrival of a baby born in a manger to save the world from its sins by dying on a cross so we can be with God.
Instead of wishing upon a star or throwing a coin into a fountain or treating God like a genie in a bottle, right? Put your hope in Jesus. And can I just say this morning? Allow Jesus to be who he is and not what you want him to be. He's the Savior. He wants to save you. He loves you. There is truth, and his name is Jesus. He doesn't lie. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He isn't a false hope or a lost hope. He is the only eternal hope, your only chance to make heaven. You can't just be good enough and follow this religion, follow that religion. Jesus said, I am the way. You have to come through me. Will you continue to put your trust in him? Will you begin today to put your trust in Jesus?